Wham! Talk 1600. You're catching the drift. Conservative talk. Intelligent conversations on local, state, and national issues with Gary Wellings, chief editor of the Current newspaper and Current Online. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. And now, your host, Gary Wellings.
And good Saturday afternoon. Thanks for tuning in to Catch Our Drift. Joining me in studio, Brandon Drake.
Good Saturday afternoon.
Good to have you aboard, dude.
Hey, thanks.
Two weeks in a row.
Yeah, you never know what'll happen.
I feel so special. Special. Well, we got a lot to cover tonight, and we're going to, or today, and we're going to jump into that. But there's a couple of things, since we are the news you need to know, and that's the news you get at thedailydrift.com. There's a couple
huge.
Things.
It's huge. Huge.
I wanna, news. I want to get to these things first, because I think people need to be aware of them, and not just concentrate on Trump and the debate tonight and all this stuff, which I know will light up the phone lines. After that, it's all over, right? So let's take care of our sponsor this half hour. First National Bank of Howell, Michigan, 734-449-7242. Some of the best rates for checking and savings. And what's that other thing I'm drawing a blank on? Anyways, your investments. First National Bank of Howell, they've got several locations, great bank, 734-449-7242, or you can go to their website, which is www.fbhn. I screwed it up already. I didn't write it down. I don't have it in front of me.
Do they give you global elite rates?
Yes. And I am the global elite.
All right.
Right?
Share
I'm
the wealth.
Of Bilderbergs. I can't wait to get back to Europe this year.
Spread the wealth around.
That last Davos trip I'd made was just intoxicating.
I heard you were intoxicated.
At Davos? Absolutely, man. I wasn't buying. You imagine me at Davos? Really?
I heard you and Bill Gates were knocking him back.
Oh, man. Tequila shooters. He wouldn't believe it.
He's quite a party guy.
He is a party animal. You would think a nerd, geeky guy like that wouldn't party like that, but woo! Billy, can't wait to do it again.
He knows how to do it up.
I'm not drunk, all right? I just have a speech impediment.
It's Saturday night. I might just tie one on tonight just because of that, dude.
I'm
in a mood. Okay, well, let's get to let's deal with track one.
Here's what you do. Every time Trump says something like "people love me" or whatever, I sound like Schwarzenegger a little bit with that. But you turn it into a drinking game.
Get to the chopper.
Turn it into a drinking game. Do a shot.
Well, there you go. It's not a bad idea.
Yeah.
I got some good tequila at home, too.
There you go.
Maybe that's my deal tonight. I'm going to have to get the ice out and get some shots run up. Yeah, no. Anyways, let's start with oil prices have been falling. You think that's good, right? Here's what I don't get about...
Good and bad.
Yeah, it's good and bad. You would think that with oil prices going, yes, the oil companies will be bad and there'll be some situations going on. But for the rest of us, the airlines, those of us driving cars, the car makers, because they can sell bigger, more expensive trucks, you would think oil going down would be a good thing for the economy. But not so much.
Well, as we both know, you know, if you're a startup oil company and you're trying to exploit the shale and the other deposits in North Dakota, South Dakota, that whole area, and you take on debt, you have to pay your workers, you have to build infrastructure, that all costs money.
Yep.
And so if you can't service that and you don't have the cash flows, then guess what? You go out of business.
Yep. Yeah, and you remember, I think we talked about this about last summer, I think. A lot of the American oil companies kind of tried, they knew this was coming, so they offset by buying short or whatever that instrument is to buy short. Sell short. And so they were prepared for the oil glut. They knew the Arabs would try to glut the market, and they knew Iran was coming, and they knew Russia would try and glut the market to put American shale out of it. And a lot of them have, because the money they set aside through that has just gone on too long. You know, they can't survive through
it. And there's a trickle-down effect, too. You know, certain areas of the country, not only North Dakota in that area, but like I would think down in Texas, Houston.
Sure.
And it flows through. There's a cascade effect, right? Because, you know, if people are getting laid off and they're not buying goods and services in their local economy, and and tax revenues go down, and it's like it's a recession. / depression for certain areas of the country, I would think.
Oh, absolutely.
But the consumer like us, especially an economy that's dependent on the automobile, is fantastic.
Yeah, I'm almost thinking of trading my car in for a big truck. Yeah, this glut's going to go on for 10 years. I'm going big, baby.
Yeah, but...
I'm going to drive a monster truck to work.
A bunch of dumbasses did that just before oil went to $147 a barrel.
I'm going to do it because I think I got 5 years to drive a big truck, and then I'll get rid of it.
Get yourself a Hummer.
Look, I'm just out. I'm a patriot, man. I'm going to get the economy going single-handedly if I have to.
Here's what you do. You get yourself a Hummer, and you drive around Ann Arbor and run over Nissan Leafs and GM Sparks or what the hell?
With a big Donald Trump sticker
just
on the back.
Flatten them, just like a tank.
Yeah, well, Derek, let's go with City Strategist, Citibank. The strategists are now getting a little worried. You got track one ready, Derek? And pay attention to this because this is – I didn't see it everywhere. I found it in the archives, in the back doors of the internet, and I don't think it's getting the play because I don't think they want you to know about this. Go ahead and play it.
Strategists at Citi say the global economy seems caught in a debt spiral because of a strong U.S. dollar, weak commodity prices, slowing global trade, and lackluster global GDP growth. In a research note released Thursday, the strategists go on to call the cycle Oilmageddon and say those four factors have created a negative feedback loop for global markets. According to Citi, the so-called negative feedback loop could snowball into a, quote, significant and synchronized global recession and, quote, proper bear market in stocks. The note from Citi comes as more analysts have turned bearish on the world economy following a deep market sell-off in January and weakening economic data in the U.S. and China. The Citi strategist called the historic move in oil prices, which have crashed 70% from their 2014 peak, and the rapid appreciation of the U.S. dollar as both major headwinds for global growth and trade. The recent note from Citi wasn't all doom and gloom. Macro strategists at the bank say the debt spiral cycle could slow down in 2016 as oil prices likely find a bottom and the U.S. dollar weakens.
Yeah, it's not all bad news.
Yeah. It all makes sense.
It could slow down.
You know, it's never, you know, it's black and white. Like, it's just this for the economy or just that for the economy, as we talked about. You know, and also when prices go down, well, I lost my train of thought here. I was going to say something while listening to that. When prices go down, forget it. I lost it. This is what happens at this age.
Well, all it means is, you know what, just be wary, folks. It's time to go in and take a look at your finances and everything else.
I got it back. When oil prices go down, and the stock market does consist of oil companies and service companies, it's not just like ExxonMobil and two or three others. Yep. It's like hundreds of thousands of companies, yes, that are involved in the oil industry. And so when these benchmark indexes like the Standard & Poor's 500 or the Dow Jones Industrials, when they go down, well, people look at their 401ks, their different investments, and there is the phenomenon called the wealth effect. So if your stock portfolio is down 20%, you look at that and you know what? I don't have as much money to spend anymore. So you spend less. So that is a part of the cycle where if you spend less in the economy, people start getting laid off because you're not buying the goods and services that you may have if your portfolio was extra high and you thought, even though it's on paper, I've got tons of money.
Yeah.
You know, we all feel that way. If you look at your accounts and you feel more confident, you're going to buy. And then it also erodes confidence. So like you're thinking, oh, I got to save, and which is not a bad thing, but that causes the economy to recede a little bit as well.
Yeah. And you know what? And that's what the way people should look at Bernie Sanders. Imagine what that will do to the confidence of America once you realize, you get over the joy of having elected your first socialist senior citizen, that, oh my gosh, there was one report that said his tax plan is going to remove 6 million jobs from the U.S. right off the bat. So let's, Paul, just to follow on what Matt was talking about, you know, pay a little attention to how Bernie Sanders is actually getting a lot of attention from our young kids, especially because the school system are not doing their jobs and teaching history.
Nor are the parents.
Yeah, nor are the parents.
They're incapable.
You know what, people? Talk to your kids about sitting under your desk as a kid worrying about nukes because that could happen still.
You know, Bernie Sanders is actually a reincarnation of FDR.
Is that better looking?
Skinnier. And he can walk.
Let's take
a Well, right now he can.
Let's take a call from David, who wants to talk about gas prices. David, welcome to the show.
Yeah, how are you? You know, let me let you know I'm out in San Francisco today.
Nice.
And, I work on energy issues, and when I hear people talking about the cheap gasoline, I've got to remind them of two different angles. One is the Saudis are intentionally dumping.
Absolutely.
Yep. So are the Russians, right?
No, the Russians are, the Saudis are actually doing it because they're trying to hurt the Russians.
Oh, and the Russians are just trying to keep up? Is that what it is?
Well, they're trying to hurt us, too. Let's not, you know.
Well, the Russians have got bills to pay, but the Saudis have got, what, 10 times more oil than the Russians do?
Yeah, but the Saudis have bills to pay, too. They have debt.
Yeah, but they've got 10 times more volume.
They do, but they don't want to take a chance of our domestic oil production squeezing them out, either. That's just
plain
fact.
But everybody agrees that they're dumping. Right?
Oh,
but
absolutely.
A major strategy of the Saudis for doing it was to hurt the Russians because they knew that the Russians had some bills to pay, and so they figured if they dumped the price, they'd be able to hurt the, steal Russian market, so to speak. But the other angle I was going to raise was ISIS has captured so many oil fields that they're the ones that are bringing the price down in addition.
Yeah, they, what, are they selling on black market through Turkey? What, how is that happening?
Yeah. They've got it as low as $10 a barrel.
Yeah, but let's get real here. ISIS is driving down prices. That's like two drops on the floor compared to the overall scheme of things.
I agree in a way, but they captured some of the biggest oil fields in Iraq, and they held for basically two-thirds of Iraq for a long time.
They're not selling
squat. And they held about a third of Syria for a while. So they had the ability to ship it directly to Turkey, which these allegations are basically...
Well, the volume is not.
Yeah. Let me ask you this, David, while I got you in, before we get too deep into the weeds, because we're running short on time before our break here. What is the American oil industry looking like right now? Are they still doing okay despite this giant drop in prices, or are they heading down for a shutdown?
Well, if I was a retirement fund, I wouldn't be buying oil shares because basically with fracking, they're getting the last drops out, right? So we're getting the last drops out in spades, but it's going fast, and so you don't look at it as long-term. But the other thing, and I was going to, it's kind of a joke, but it's very real. The cheap oil is being ISIS oil. With every tank of ISIS, you get a free refugee with every tank.
Yeah, that's true.
Or a slave girl, right?
Well, yeah. And that's the whole point is that if we think we're getting cheap gas, we're getting refugees too, and that's very expensive.
Yeah.
So it's smarter to, I mean, if I was, the president, I would call in GATT and have them go after the Saudis for dumping.
So there you go. Good call. All right, David, well, good points. I appreciate the phone call and enjoy that weather out there, cuz I'm sure it's better than here. All right. Let's take a quick call from Jenny. Jenny, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys, my bottom line for this Bernie Sanders and everything is no country is big enough for socialism. They're all too big. Europe just took a little longer for them to start to crash. If we get it full-blown, it won't take long.
It's already happening over the last 40 years, but you're right.
We're already doing it, and it's already happening.
Mm-hmm.
So if we go all the way with Bernie or Hillary, we're not going to be, anyway, it won't be long.
Gary, would you go all the way with Hillary or Bernie? No, neither would I. Sorry, Jenny, had to.
No.
I know you hate my humor, but I can't resist.
No, you're spot on, though, Jenny. They're
absolutely
back there laughing. I think if we have Hillary or Bernie, it's a matter of, within 4 years, this country will bankrupt itself. Something bad will happen. Somebody's going to come in I don't know what's going to happen, but it's going to be Armageddon all over the place.
Oh, that's my bottom line with all this. We cannot stay home. We have to vote for anyone.
Yes.
Those two.
In the end, I'm going to pull the Republican lever because I'm not voting for the old socialists, and I'm not voting for Bernie Sanders either.
No. So there you go.
All right. Thanks for the call, Jenny. Appreciate it. Take care.
All right. Hillary.
I didn't know if you got that joke at first.
Hillary Bernie sandwich.
Imagine VP. Who would hire Bernie as her VP? Which she would probably do it because that shores up her votes, right?
But Bernie wouldn't do it.
Why Bernie has not attacked her hardcore on the emails or servers. All the things that would get him to win, he won't attack her on because he wants the VP spot.
Yeah, can you imagine Bernie being VP? And he's like, all right, Hillary, 8 years, I'll then be president. Wait a minute, I'll be dead.
He'll continue to be doing nothing like he does right now. That's exactly what will happen. Well, let's take quick break.
I was going to say, going back to the caller about the oil, to say that ISIS is driving down oil prices. They sell enough oil to fund their operations and have some in the bank. But, you know, without seeing statistics in front of me, I would find it very hard to believe that in the big scheme of things, in the global oil market, in the millions and millions of daily produced, that ISIS is any kind of competitor volume-wise with the Russians, with the Saudis, with the Persian Gulf states, with us,
well,
with Canada,
especially
with anybody.
Blowing up their stuff, from blowing up tankers and everything. Well, the Russians are. We're not.
Even without blowing up the tank, selling on the black market and all that. I get all that, but relatively speaking, that's a mom-and-pop shop. Yeah. You know, they can fund their $200 a month fighters and you know.
But did you see the reports a few weeks ago that they were giving pay cuts to all the ISIS fighters because they were starting to hurt a little bit with the Russians blowing up their tankers and cutting their lines to Turkey? Shame on Turkey for buying that stuff too. That ought to, you know, someone should be raising a flag over there on that one. Derek, let's take a break, and when we come back, we're going to get into something with Iran here that I want to talk about, and then we'll proceed with Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton in the debate tonight. See you on the other side.
I'm a mom, and just like millions of other women, that's why I own guns. We're responsible, we're law-abiding, and we're everything that makes America strong. Every day, we're willing to use a firearm to defend our families. But the media will never tell those stories. If a mom puts a gun to the face of a home-invading thug and makes him run for his life, the story gets buried. But if she's unarmed and murdered, the cameras will be at the scene before the police. It's time for moms like me to speak out. We are the majority. We demand the freedom to defend our families. And we challenge the media to tell the truth about our rights. I'm the National Rifle Association of America, and I'm freedom's safest place.
In the letter Paul wrote to the Romans, we learn that God gives government the sword to rule with. The government in the United States is a republic, and as a republic, this means that the sword belongs to you and me to wield. When we vote, we are stating that we give permission to that person we voted for to wield the sword for us. We have a responsibility to be very careful to whom we are going to trust with our vote, who we will trust to wield that sword for us. The candidate we install that trust to should be one that would not use that very sword against us for exercising our God-given rights, such as using that power to take the lives of children still in the mother's womb, or use it to attack your right to believe, speak, or protect yourselves. Be careful who you vote for. Make sure that person will not wield that sword against you or your loved ones. Be protective of your vote. Be careful who you trust that power to. Once they have it, they could use it against you. I am Pastor Richard Dietering, bringing you a moment of clarity.
So you've got to take a state construction license exam or certification. Can't decide on what books or what chapters to study? Discover right now how you can eliminate unnecessary books and wasted study time. At ContractorExam.com, their study materials zero in on state-required test topics in an effective multiple-choice format. So whether you're a roofer, heavy construction, residential contractor, or other related trade, ContractorExam.com will help get you prepared. Visit www.ContractorExam.com today.
You know, friends, a wise man once said, he said something. I can't remember what it is right now, but that's not important. This is Thay Roan inviting you to join me for the Bone Conduction Music Show. It's the rockin'est show on the radio, and we use only the finest ingredients, and we've been doing business in the same location since 1842. Join me here for the Bone Conduction Music Show.
Join Thay Roan for the rockin'est show on the radio. It's the Bone Conduction Music Show. Every Sunday night at 7 p.m., right here on Wham! Talk 1600.
If I can get my eyes uncrossed after banging it against the wall.
Yeah. So anyways. Limb biscuit, baby.
Yeah, yeah. So anyways, Sound Financial Services. Since we were talking about double-checking your finances and whatnot with the changing economic conditions, Oxford Life Insurance Company, call Jerry, 810-231-7576. Sound Financial Services, located in Brighton, Michigan, can take care of your life insurance, annuities, and Medicare supplements. So they got some great rates right now, and it's good to be checking where to leave your money. If you got cash, just don't let it sit in the bank. Do something with it. Call Sound Financial Services, Jerry, 810-231-7576. So make sure you're out there taking care of business. You have to do that. All right, let's talk real quick about Iran. I don't want that people forgetting about this Iranian nuke deal that John Kerry and Barack Obama stuck on us. The Obama administration is finding itself on the defensive amid rising charges that the U.S. and its allies lowballed the estimate of the number of billions of dollars that Iran will reap from this deal. Tehran is claiming to have secured access to more than $100 billion from sanctions relief, which is roughly twice. Remember, they told us about $50 billion, is what the Obama administration long claimed. So if you've seen some of the reports, Iran went and bought a bunch of new jets from, I think, Airbus, right, which is a European company. Mm-hmm. So it's just like anything. You got to follow the money. Here these guys are.
Oh, absolutely. We've been saying this all along.
Yeah,
sure.
They put the security of the world at risk, mm-hmm, in order to make some money. So China, Russia, the Europeans, they're all making big money. We're the only idiots not making any money.
And let's not forget until recently, the Germans, the Europeans, the British, most of Western Europe, they were in bed with the Iranians all along. We were the only ones not participating to any degree, mm-hmm, doing business in, yeah, Iran. It was them. And yeah, so they take a little pause. And now it's back to business as usual with their contacts, their infrastructure, everything they've established over there.
Yep. It's all about the money.
Yeah, they don't care.
You know, nobody seems to,
yeah,
care.
We're always the bad guys in their eyes, the gall of that.
Yeah. Just absolute travesty. So, you know what? Don't let that sit out there. When you're voting for your new congressman this year and you get a chance to talk to them, hopefully, and if you don't, email them. Find out their position on the nuke deal and whether we're going to proceed with I think the Congress still has to do something, right? It's and the new president.
Not with Obama in office.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter.
Yes, along with dictator Barack Obama.
The ones that voted for that deal, you know, their talking point is, well, it would have been much worse without this.
Yeah. How much worse could it get? They're going to be raining nuclear EMPs down upon us with that.
Netanyahu basically, after this was agreed to, said this assures nuclear war in the future.
Yeah.
It's just kicking the can down the road and it's just formalized on paper. That's the only difference between, I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, well, you know, we Derek, how much time do we got? Do we have time to get that next track in? 1 minute. No, we don't have enough time. Yeah, I mean, we have to look at, and maybe hopefully you'll see that. I'm hoping tonight's debate is going to be substantive, and they'll be looking at policies and not just trying to get these Republicans to fight amongst themselves. You know they're going to do it. They're just going to go after him and try and get Cruz and Trump fighting, and they're going to try and get Rubio and Christie fighting and Bush and Rubio fighting. You know what? Stick to the policies. You know what I mean? Let us know what these candidates stand for. I don't want to see them fight anymore.
I totally agree with you. I'm just, if something comes to mind what Cruz said, which I thought was kind of funny when he said regarding Trump, it's just another Trumper tantrum. I mean, stuff like that you have to use once in a while because it'll stick in people's minds.
And it's funny, but we're going to talk about Ted Cruz and Donald Trump and their little fight when we come back. So we'll see you on the other side.
Be People are always on the move, driving to work, getting the groceries, hauling the kids to soccer. How do they keep up to date? They listen to Wham Talk 1600, just like you. If you're a business owner, your message can reach these people wherever their travels take them. People tune to Wham for intelligent conversation with hosts like Bill Bennett, Glenn Beck, and Theron X. They stay tuned in for Fox updates, and they'll stay tuned for your message as well. Call 734-971-1600 and advertise your business on Wham Talk 1600.
Fox News Radio, I'm Lillian Wu. Voters in New Hampshire getting another chance to hear from GOP candidates tonight.
Polls are showing a three-way battle among Donald Trump, Iowa winner Ted Cruz, and Marco Rubio, with the other participants tonight trying to keep pace. Tonight's debate is a final chance to change minds before Tuesday's primary.
Fox Radio's Gernal Scott. Coast Guard suspending the search for survivors in a collision between two small planes near the port of Los Angeles. More than 100 people still missing after a quake in Taiwan, which killed at least 14, and the stage getting set for Super Bowl 50.
The Panthers and Broncos are in Santa Clara, about an hour south of all the excited fans, each getting their final walkthroughs on the field at Levi's Stadium, testing out the turf and getting familiar with the sight lines. They're also donning their Super Bowl 50 uniforms for the first time, taking team pictures at the stadium.
Fox Radio's Chris Honig in San Francisco. Fox News, we report. You decide.
It's time now for Wham! Talk 1600's Community Calendar with Brandon Drake.
Patriots Hockey is an all-U.S. Armed Forces hockey team primarily located in the San Clemente, California area. Their mission is to host a series of ice hockey games in efforts to raise money and awareness for various military and first responder nonprofits benefiting fellow service members and their families. They have two events that bring them to Detroit. On February 18th from 2:30 to 4 p.m., they'll hit the ice against the Michigan Warriors at none other than Joe Louis Arena, benefiting the Fallen and Wounded Soldiers Fund. On top of attending this great event, bring your skates to the Joe and skate on the legendary ice one more time prior to the game from 2 to 2:30 p.m. before they close its doors for the final time. For more information, visit facebook.com/patriots.hockeyteam. The second event will be on Sunday, February 21st from 9 to 10 a.m. The Patriots and the Michigan Warriors will face off in a battle on the ice at the Dearborn Ice Skating Center, 14900 Ford Road in Dearborn. Ticket costs are $10 for adults. Kids between 4 and 12, $5. Under 3 years old get in free. All ticket proceeds benefit the Dearborn University of Michigan Student Veterans Association. Tickets can be purchased at the door or online at events.benchmarkemail.com/event. To review these events and others, you can always visit WHAM's website at www.whamradio.com and click on Community Events.
You've been listening to the Wham Community Calendar. To have your event publicized, email community@whamradio.com or write to Brandon Drake, COWAAM, 4230 Packard Road, Ann Arbor, 48108. Wham Talk 1600. In touch with your community.
And welcome back. Thanks for catching our drift. Joining me in studio, Brandon Drake, this lovely Saturday.
Hey, you there.
Wham Talk 1600.
I took over the bump music.
Yeah, good bump music, dude. You're picking it out of the blue today. What are you, just cruising YouTube and picking this stuff up?
Yeah,
or what?
Whatever sounds good, I do it. Yeah, feels good, do it.
I like both those ones. All right, let's do our sponsor. We'll be Nowatzki Truck and Trailer have their grand opening. Exit 49 on US 23, great little truck stop. They've got all kinds of stuff for shopping and fuel needs all under one roof. You can call them 734-995-9600, but that's a great exit. If you haven't been to the North Territorial Road exit off US 23, it's the first exit north of Brighton or north of Ann Arbor. It's a great place. It's Marathon. They got Marathon discounts available. It's a truck service. service center, trailer repairs, you name it, they have it. So 6900 Whitmore Lake Road, 734-995-9600. Go to Nawatsi Truck and Trailer for your fuel needs and quick shopping and whatever else. So great little store there, man. They really did a nice job redoing the place. So there you go, 734-995-9600. I'm getting kind of good at doing those.
I was going to say, you're Mr. Live Read today, and you're just nailing it.
I am just trying to get... You know what? I'm practicing, dude. I'm practicing for my real gig. One of these days, I'm going to get the call up to the majors, right?
You're preparing for your future.
Yeah, no, that's not going to happen. All right, well, I want to do another track before we get into Trump and Cruz, because I think this is important. It should show you. Derek, do we have track two available by chance? Hold on. He's going to put it through for us. Chicago Stock Exchange just got sold. Can you guess who bought it?
Chicago Stock Exchange? Yes. I've never heard of such a thing.
Yeah, they do the commodities.
Chicago Mercantile Exchange.
Yeah, they call it the Stock Exchange here. I take it back. I don't know that that is the same. But anyways, we've got a track here. Maybe they'll tell us a little different. But it's bought by, guess who?
Major
China Investors. Yes.
Ah, so.
Something
Japanese.
As big as this being sold. Go ahead, Derek. Play that track.
Chicago Stock Exchange says it is being sold to China-led group. China. Matt, I want you to break this down for us because this is yet another example of big China money taking money out of China and spending it here in big, solid, illiquid places.
Right. To be fair, we don't know the terms of the deal, so we don't know anything about how much money this costs or how big the business is. But the Chicago Stock Exchange is being sold by a China-led group. We heard a couple of days ago about a China-led group thinking about spending big money, $40 billion mm-hmm. on an ag company. That's obviously a much more important market to China than the Chicago Stock Exchange. They have a billion three people to feed. Chicago Stock Exchange is a very small business.
This is another example. It speaks to the sentiment change of where we are seeing money shift to. And now keep in mind, this deal is pending because you got to get regulatory approval for a deal like this. But it's just another sign of this shift that we're seeing. Does it surprise you, Alan?
Well, I think it's an indication that the U.S. is the strongest, safest economy in the world.
Where
would you rather have a stock market, in China or in the U.S.? Where do you trust the accounting? Where do you trust the enforcement more?
Okay, so there you go. You know, when I read this the first time, I went, ooh, that's not good. And then I thought, well, maybe it is good. Maybe I'm not enough of an economist to tell you. But it should at least wake people up. You know, what happens next? What, New York Stock Exchange sold to China? or the Saudis or somebody? I mean, are we that for sale? How long before we put the Statue of Liberty up for sale or something else?
Well, GE is selling their appliance division to the Chinese.
And I don't know.
Joe Gannon, very up in arms over this.
And maybe he should be.
Yeah.
I mean, does that mean our manufacturing capabilities here are going to be exported away? We're not going to do GE appliances here anymore? Maybe we already don't. I don't know.
Yeah, we probably don't. But this will be, you know what this will be a boom for as far as American service companies if the Chinese buy the appliance division of GE? Repair companies. Because all the stuff you buy will be such crap that within like 3 years, you're calling MasterTech or whoever to come fix it.
Right. I mean, for me, this is just part of this degeneration of American capabilities. And this is one of the reasons I like Trump, because I know he's against this TPP thing, and no matter what our congressman says, it's good for jobs or whatever. No, it's not, because the very fact that you're putting training for Americans who will lose jobs due to TPP tells me all I need to know. If you're putting training into the deal for jobs being lost here, then jobs are being lost here. Hello.
So, for example, at the Chicago Stock Exchange, let's say you're some type of analyst there, and your Chinese overlord who will be sitting right over your shoulder in the office, Gary Wowing, show me what you do.
Yeah, it's going to be H-1Bs, dude. They're going to bring, and that's Cruz, that's Rubio, that's all those guys. They love the H-1B. The only one who doesn't really love the H-1B is Donald Trump.
Twain me up.
You know, what are we, March 8th is our primary here, right? I'm just going to go out on a limb. I still love Cruz, I do. He would be the most conservative, most constitutional guy out there, without a doubt.
But don't do the but. Here comes but.
But?
But.
there's an electability factor, and you know
yes,
it.
Yes,
right?
I know.
You
yeah.
know it. There's an electability. I do not think Ted Cruz can bring in enough people from the moderates, the base of the Republican Party, and Reagan Democrats to get elected. I just don't see it.
See, now you're being Machiavellian. So, you know, like caller Ed, you know, he said, I'm tired of hearing people saying they're going to vote for Trump because they don't think Cruz can be elected.
Right.
And up to this point, I don't think we ever really voiced that. But and I wasn't even really thinking.
Haven't we? Have I been on the edge that much? Shame on me.
I don't think we've ever exactly come out and said that. And for me, I wasn't even really thinking that until the last couple weeks. It really started to, for whatever reason, get into my heart and soul that I don't know if Cruz, if you really think about it, the different demographics of the country and groups, I'm not trying to undermine him by any means.
No, me neither. I love Cruz. I love him.
But realistically, just thinking about it off the top of my head and not being the genius of Karl Rove and analyzing everything.
Yeah.
I say that tongue in cheek.
I wish I could get paid to do this.
I don't know. I think Trump can cause the, you know, the Macomb County Reagan Democrats, for example. My dad loves Trump. That's his guy.
Yeah.
And he is a Macomb County guy.
Yeah, Democrat. You
know? No, he's a Republican, but I think some of his buddies and stuff who are
Democrats,
because that's the area he lives in, I think they're willing to cross over and
because he's talking about
vote for Trump. They'd never vote for Cruz.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's take a call from who do we got on line one? Walter, line one. Welcome to the show, Walter. What's going on? I knew having Trump mentioned
that's all you gotta
would just bring the lightens up.
You know, Trump's going to call us and he's going to want some type of royalty for using his name. You guys are using my name. I want part of the take.
Go ahead, Walter. What's up?
Yeah, that's one thing to take note about Donald Trump, as much as we like him, you know, thinking strategically he would probably be the best the Democrat or demoniac, whatever you want to call him. You notice, but he always talked to me, he talks like, he say things like, my poll numbers are better than everybody else. And the people like me. Like, does he really get on issues a lot? I think he says more about himself and his poll numbers than he do the issues. Not to say that he hasn't talked about some real issues, but that's mostly what I hear coming from him. And I still will not forget what he just said on the morning show a couple of weeks ago, that he will work with Harry Reid, Nancy Pelosi. And that's like hell's best kept secret, because a lot of our conservative shows, local and national, did not play that soundbite of him saying that.
Yeah, yeah. But here's my thought on that, Walter. Donald Trump, when he says that, I'm going to play with you, he's probably saying I'm going to deal with you the same way I'm going to deal with the Chinese. Here's my deal. You know what? I would try, because you know what? Paul Ryan's already dealing with Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid, and so did John Boehner, so did everyone else. If we're going to do it, I want somebody who knows how to do it.
Who will win.
So I don't have a problem with him dealing. You have no choice but to deal with Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid. You have to cut some kind of a deal. Just make sure it's a deal in our favor for once, because the Republicans that are in control right now don't do that. They're just giving crap away. I know Donald Trump won't give crap away. You know what I mean? So when those kind of things come out, for me it's like, yeah, I understand. Because you know what? As I told Matt earlier in the hallway, with Jeb Bush, with Marco Rubio, with Chris Christie, and John Kasich, I am 100% sure that nothing will change. We will still be heading toward the cliff at 50 miles an hour instead of 60 miles an hour with Bernie or Hillary. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? There's only two guys who actually have the will that I actually believe will make the effort to change things, and that's Trump and or Cruz. Those two guys, I fully believe in their character, that they want to change and that they will do the best they can to change. Now, of those two, for me, I think there's only one who can control the media and get the support of the American people rallied behind him to make that change.
And can you imagine Trump, for example, in the Oval Office giving a speech to the American people saying, this is what I want to do, this is what the opposition, the Democrats, are forcing and holding up on me, what makes more sense to you? And he will be able to communicate that, where people are like, wow, are you kidding me?
Yeah,
these idiots, these Democrats are holding up what he wants to do?
Yes. Because you know what? Yep. He's got that ability to work the media that nobody else
exactly.
does.
Exactly. The others
he
don't.
He does, and he does it every day. And you think all these stupid tweets he puts out there that get attention, you know what? You don't think that's done on purpose? That is definitely done on purpose. He's doing it, and he's gauging the fact that, you know what? Some people may not like it, but I'm going to be on the news for the next 48 hours in this cycle because of what I just said.
And here's the deal. On the major networks, we interrupt this program for a live press conference from President Donald Trump in the Oval Office. Most people will, oh, I want to watch.
Yes.
But if, I hate to say this, but if like Cruz or any of the others are in there, it's going to be like, oh, let's go over to the
MTV.
Hey, there's a rerun of Big Bang Theory. Let's watch that.
Yes.
That's what you would get.
Yeah. What else you got, Walter?
Just like I said, you know, I hope you guys are right. I got still optimistic, you know.
Yeah.
And I hope he's doing that strategically. He could have been saying that strategically. But I would still vote for any one of them.
Yes, I'm going to pull the Republican lever.
Yeah. Oh, sure.
The way I look at it, Walter, yes, there's a 50-50 chance Donald Trump could be lying or he could be true to what he's saying. But the other four, I've got a 100% chance of getting nothing. It will be the same old, same old. I guarantee you a Rubio, a Cruz, a Rubio, a Bush, a Kasich, or Christie are going to give you nothing but more of the same crap we've had for 8 years.
And I will acknowledge that for me personally, and I think also, Gary, you're on board with me on this, that to a certain degree with Trump, if we vote for him, we're kind of putting our chips on the table in a little bit of a gamble. He could be the greatest ever, or he could be a huge disappointment.
Yes, absolutely. Thanks, Walter. Appreciate the call.
It's the wild card.
Okay, let's take a quick call. Jimmy Manchester. Go ahead, Jimmy.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Good.
Hey, Jimmy, I haven't heard from you in a while.
Yeah, well, I have one of those things called a job. I have to work.
Oh, shame on you.
Even in this market. What I was thinking about Trump, I've been really thinking and pondering about Trump and Cruz about it. I don't know which way I'm going to go just yet, but I don't know. I mean, I think that Trump is probably a great stepping stone to move us to somebody like Cruz, because I think that the country would kind of freak out if they had a true constitutional constructionist like him in office, where Trump is going to be able to rebuild things through renegotiating some of these trade deals, TPP, NAFTA, CAFTA, what have you, and bring some of our manufacturing back, get a base going.
To stop the bleeding.
Stop the bleeding. And, you know, he's going to be able to do triage, I guess, is the way he
Yes, Jimmy, that is a great definition of it. That's exactly the way I feel. And you know what, Jimmy, here's the thing. So today on the dailydrift.com article that I put up there, Donald Trump yesterday said, when looking at VPs, he would not rule out Ted Cruz as a VP still. Despite all the things that have gone on between the two of them, and mark my words, this is Donald Trump being as competitive and at the top of his game as he can. He's going to throw everybody under the bus and throw everything at him to defeat them, and then he's going to go back and pick up the pieces. You know what I mean?
That's the game. That's the game.
That is the game. And nobody plays it better than Trump, it seems.
Game for quite some time, and it's an ugly game. But, you know, I think Trump would do better to appoint a Ted Cruz to the Supreme Court.
That would
make more sense than Cruz being president, because I think Cruz would scare the hell out of too many people. Nobody that listens to this radio station, because the people who listen to this radio station are very sophisticated people, well-read, they understand what's going on. But anybody else, I mean, the average schmuck voter, they're not going to get that. They're not going to understand that we have to get rid of certain departments to grow the economy. They're not going to. They're going to be frightened by that.
Right.
Hey, Jimmy. Let me ask you and Gary this real quick. Okay. One of Cruz's selling points is that he's a consistent conservative, and all the stuff that's been said about him by Donald Trump, you're not qualified to be president because you're not a naturalized American, some other personal insults. And if Cruz did agree to become Trump's running mate, would you think that Cruz is selling out a little bit? I mean, I know that's the game, but would you be disappointed in Cruz to any degree? I think I would.
I wouldn't.
No.
I wouldn't.
No, absolutely not. It would be a political move. And with Trump, it would be a business decision.
Yeah.
That's what Trump does. He makes business decisions. Why do you think he gives money to Harry Reid? Because he has casinos in Las Vegas.
No,
why do you think he gives money to Hillary Clinton
and
Chuck Schumer? Because he does business in New York.
But I wasn't addressing
business in those places without paying off the mob.
Sure, but I wasn't addressing Trump so much. I was addressing Cruz. It almost would feel like he's, and I know it's political expediency, but it would feel like he's selling out a little bit, and he's dirty for taking that type of abuse, and then like, oh, okay, Donald, I'll work for you in a sense. I don't know. That feels cheap to me.
Let's move.
He would be there to give some good advice to Mr. Trump, because there's a lot of things that Trump doesn't know.
That's correct.
But Trump is smart enough to know what he doesn't know. Well, you know, it's like the triad thing. You know.
But again, I'm not talking about Trump. Talking
about
Cruz.
That. Yeah. Well, that's not really his fault, because he doesn't pay attention to that. He's a businessman.
No, I get the Trump part. I was talking about the Cruz part.
All right, Jimmy.
It's a political decision that he'd be making. It would be a move that he would go into so that he could run in the future or become Supreme Court or something down the road.
Okay. Well, Jimmy, thanks for the call. I got the phone lines busting open, so I'm going to move on here. Thanks for the call. Give us a holler next week. Love hearing from you. Okay, let's take Ron from Hamilton Field, California. Wow, we're getting a lot of... Ron, go ahead.
I've upset the Californians.
Ron, are you there? It looks like we lost Ron. We didn't move quick enough. How about... or Gary from Hamilton... Gary from Ann Arbor?
Line one is Ron.
Line one, there we go. Boy,
Ron, here's Ron. I've been on here. Okay.
Hey, I'm sorry, Ron. Go ahead.
I've got a question for you now. So with Flint going on, and what we're talking about, the tremendous liability that's been created by those who have been in charge who didn't have the oversight. What is the situation on a national level with all the closed military bases that have remaining toxins on them? The DOD has cleaned it up to the point of commercial, but the cities and counties have all pushed for residential, and from now in Hamilton Field for over 15 years, the residents here have venting from a landfill that's just a dump site on ground, which is called the Landfill 26, which vents out 24/7 basically methane and all the toxin particulates. Now, where is it across country that liability ends, and why don't we have the kind of proper cleanup to begin with and the kind of mental attitude that cleans up? Conservatism means conserve what you have and don't allow the contamination, and then overlooking that, then they call that conservatism. It's backwards thinking.
Well, would you say the EPA is doing a good job, Ron, or not?
I would say that EPA is in the pocket of the same people that cause and the reactions and the conditions that have been at Flint.
Yeah, well, I'll agree with you there. I think the EPA has done a terrible job, not only under Obama, but, you know, and I guess here's my point. This is the point I made a couple of weeks ago. The EPA has spent so much time trying to shut down coal plants that they haven't been doing the basics like watching out for lead levels. And recently, if you look, there's a map on Facebook right now. I shared the link the other day that there are like 8 or 9 places in Michigan where the children have higher lead blood levels than they do in Flint. And yet, for some reason, Flint, because there was a Republican governor who put a emergency manager in position there, is the target that the media keeps talking about.
Let me
other places.
Something here, sir.
Sure.
I want to interject this. When you're talking about lead, you're talking about particulates and waste dumping into that river over years of all sorts of hazardous
Hold on, Ron. The lead issue in Flint is not from the...
lead in the blood, or you test for any toxins in the blood, it
dissipates in the... We're losing Ron there, but... Anyways, Ron, we lost him. Ron, the point of the lead in Flint is the lead is in the pipes,
not
the Flint River.
Yes.
And because they put an emergency manager who hired a company and they had to add more chlorine for the Flint River, they forgot to add the anti-corrosive additive that would keep the pipes from leaching lead. So it's the lead is not in the ground and everywhere else. There is lead in the ground all over the country, and that's why there are places that have higher lead levels in children and in adults than in Flint right now. It comes down to the crisis of the media just blowing this thing up.
When and this is the impression that I was under, too, is that when Flint switched from the Detroit River to the Flint River, that the lead came from the Flint River. That is not true at all. Just like you said, Gary, it came from the pipes and the acidic level of the Flint River,
yes,
is what caused those pipes to leach lead into the drinking water.
Yes.
And it was acknowledged and everything else, yes, way too late.
Yeah, and the actual piping is from the mains into the house. So it's the contractors that built those houses originally and put in those pipes from the main to the house were using substandard stuff that had more lead in it.
Maybe 100 years ago. And yes, they're saying the records are like smudged and written, yes, in ink, yeah, that
but Detroit, a disaster. Detroit has a bigger problem than Flint, but nobody's talking about it because it's not politically convenient.
I read an article that our infrastructure with pipes and everything else we're describing is potentially disastrous all over the country. It's not just a handful of cities. It's, yeah, it's potentially dangerous everywhere.
Yeah, let's get hold of Gary here, Blind 3. Gary, welcome to the show. Is he gone? I don't know. I guess he's gone.
Stoner's on the phone.
Why does it say line three there? That's just driving me up a wall. Let's go with line two. Ed from Ypsilanti. Welcome, Ed.
Oh, hey, you're stuck with me. Well, you know, as you said on Facebook, if Cruz gets selected as VP by Trump, how does Trump address the Canadian birth issue that he's been decrying all along?
Yeah, well, that's probably why that won't happen. And as Jimmy said, you know, frankly, he'd probably be a better attorney general or a... you know, or maybe they would force it to the Supreme Court and try and get that declarative judgment. You know what I mean? I don't know. It's the possibility yet. Is what I'm saying is that Donald Trump said, "Hey, I wouldn't rule him out," meaning he's opening the door for a better relationship.
And like I said to Jimmy, I totally get Trump's part. He's a wheeler dealer. He sees the demographics. Maybe I can bring in some of the Cruz supporters from the, you know, Texas and other areas. But let me ask you, Ed. Would you be disappointed in Cruz if he all of a sudden wants to be vice president under Trump, a guy that you don't want, and Cruz is your guy? Would you feel like Cruz is selling out a little bit to move up a step and, you know, possibly do whatever down the road?
I think that Cruz could be positioning himself for a run later, maybe in 4 years when Donald tires of being president.
Right. I get that. But would you feel like Cruz is selling out a little bit? Would you be disappointed in him for not being like, more of a staunch constitutional conservative, and he's not going to serve under a Trump, a guy that you know, that you believe is not,
super
conservative and all that kind of jazz?
I don't think at the moment it would bother me, and I think if it got bad enough, then he would resign in protest. But it would never happen because I don't think Cruz wants to be in that position. Trump is not going to listen to Cruz for his valuable advice. And Cruz would be a better AG, like somebody said.
Yeah, yeah. Well, so you're going to vote March 8th for Ted Cruz,
nobody
right?
will answer my question.
No, I think he answered.
Yes, I am.
Okay.
I will support Trump in the general if it goes that way.
Okay.
Hold my nose and do it.
Yeah.
Not want to see him on the Supreme Court, that's for sure.
Yeah, but Ed, you said why Cruz might do this or that, but I'm asking you, would you feel personally like Cruz sold out, I'm disappointed in him that he's going to work for a guy like Trump, or he's going to be on that ticket running? Because, you know, the general election, as vice presidential running mate, Cruz will have to run around saying how great Trump is.
No, I wouldn't feel he sold out.
In fact, okay.
He maybe that's all I wanted. Himself.
Okay.
That's good.
That's all I wanted.
All right, Ed, I got one more call to squeeze in here before the end of the show. Take care. All right, Amy, sorry about that. Amy, welcome to the show.
Hey, Amy.
Hi.
Go
Hi.
Quick.
Just, you know, Trump is a sham. He's a good old boy. He's thin-skinned. He has an ego that probably is probably bigger than Barack Obama's.
Well, that's what I was going to say. So he's going to be just like Barack Obama.
You know, I do.
Could be worse. Could be worse.
Point everybody who votes for him. He does not care. He does not care. He does not care about you.
Okay.
About any of these listeners.
All right. Well, thank you, Amy.
About anybody.
All right. Well, thanks for the call, Amy. I appreciate it. Good points.
Amy, right to the point.
I love it.
She's great.
Until next week, go to thedailydrift.com. We'll see you then.
See ya.